Let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals to page 24, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, question and answers 46 through 49, page 24. We'll read these questions and answers responsively. Question 46 asks, what do you mean by saying he ascended into heaven? That Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted up from the earth into heaven and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. But isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised us? Christ is true man and true God. In his human nature, Christ is not now on earth. But in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. If his humanity is not present wherever his divinity is, then aren't the two natures of Christ separated from each other? Certainly not. Since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divinity is surely beyond the bounds of the humanity he has taken on. But at the same time, his divinity is in and remains personally united to his humanity. How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of his Father. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Let us take our Bibles. We'll turn in them to the New Testament, first to the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, found on page 1201. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, beginning at verse 31, people of God, hear now the very words of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us also turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We'll read the first 17 verses. That's found on page 1253, Colossians 3. Philippians, Colossians, First and Second Thessalonians, Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Of course. Of course we all do. Now, if you'd ask people around us, most likely many of them would also say that they want to go to heaven when they die. What about having heavenly living now, in this life? Now ask that question and you'll probably get a weird look or two from someone you're asking that, and you might get different responses. Some people might misunderstand what a heavenly life is like, and so, no, they want to continue in this earthly life while they can. But maybe some people would be honest and say, no, I'm fine right now. I enjoy this life. And by that, what they mean is they want to do the things that they know don't happen in heaven. Activities that aren't righteous or perfectly righteous. They want to have a little fun now. But we as Christians, we have a different mindset. We are to have a different mindset. We are to live a heavenly life now because our Lord ascended into heaven. That's what I proclaim to you. Live a heavenly life now because our Lord ascended into heaven. And first, we want to consider about heavenly joy. Heavenly joy. Now, when we think about living out a heavenly life, some aspects we can't do now. One aspect involves our sinful nature, right, that clings to us this whole life long. That will not be fully removed until we go to heaven after this life. There is no sin in heaven. In heaven, we cannot sin. We will never sin. It's part of the blessing of it. Also in heaven, there's no sorrow. There's no sickness. There's no death. Those are inescapable here below. A heavenly joy. Heavenly joy that is for now, in part. And we have joy in this life. True joy. Joy that, not just joy, something that is joy, something the unbeliever can't have now. Now, a lot of people say, talk about joy, even unbelievers. Some people might talk about joy in the way that a song moves them, makes them joyful. That's not joy. Some might use the word joy when talking about a tasty meal or treat. That's not joy either. Many people use the word joy when perhaps they should use the word delight or something like that. What is joy then? Well, as with love, so it is with joy. Joy is not merely a feeling. Christian joy is not a feeling of happiness, is not a feeling of delight or well-being. It's not merely a feeling. If it were a feeling, then we could have none of the joy of heaven in our lives now because we're disconnected from heaven. We don't have that connection of feeling with heaven right now. Our connection with heaven is one of faith. It's a faith connection. It's a spiritual connection. And so, of course, an unbeliever can't have true joy then, certainly not heavenly joy. What is joy, Christian joy, heavenly joy? Well, there are different ways of talking about it, but you can think of joy as a settled assurance that in Christ we are right with God who governs all things. It's a settled assurance that in Christ we are right with God who governs all things. Again, we could word that in different ways. We could bring out different aspects of joy as well, expand on them, but that's a good way of talking about joy. Well, how does Christ ascending into heaven, which is what we have before us in this Lord's Day, how does it bring us heavenly joy? Well, for one, Jesus is in heaven pleading our cause in the presence of his Father. Answer 49 brings that out. We read of that in Romans 8 even. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Now, on earth, we have feelings of happiness and we have feelings of sorrow. But for the Christian, in the midst of both of these and everything else, we have a settled assurance that whatever caused those feelings doesn't come from God to us in judgment, in wrath, to destroy us. Instead, whatever caused those feelings comes from God as our Heavenly Father. God sent His Son Jesus to suffer in our place. Didn't we read that? He, in verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Jesus came, took upon Himself our human nature. In that nature, fulfilled all righteousness, even to the point of suffering God's wrath against sin that we had committed. The penalty we deserved as our substitute. He suffered and died and reconciled us to God. God gave Him up for us all. And on the third day, He rose again from the dead. Christ, who had died. Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. God is pleased with us for the sake of Jesus. And with Jesus having ascended into heaven, He's there, presenting to His Father His own work on our behalf. It's not forgotten. Jesus is not forgotten. His redeeming work is not forgotten. Now, of course, God would never forget. He's God. He would never forget the redeeming life and death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. But with Jesus being in heaven there, interceding for us, pleading for our cause, we're assured it's not forgotten. And that all that God brings to us in this sad world, it's filtered through the love, the satisfaction, the delight, the joy that He has with His Son, Jesus, and thus with us. So here's joy for us. Christ is pleading your cause. A settled assurance. You're not alone. You're not forgotten. Christ is for you. He's interceding. What a blessing. What a benefit. That's one of the benefits of Christ's ascension. And so the question we have is, well, are you believing that? But then also, are you and I living that out? Remember the gospel our whole life long. Believe the gospel our whole life long. Constantly entrust yourself to Jesus, because for the sake of Jesus, God forgives your sins. True Christian, you have that confidence, that assurance, that joy. As we look to God through faith in Jesus, that wonderful comfort we read of in Romans 8, it is ours in Christ. Here's joy. Dear friend, do you have this joy? I'm not asking if you feel happy. Okay? I'm not asking if you feel satisfied with what's going on in your earthly life, given the good, given the bad, on balance. I'm not asking how you feel. Do you have this joy? Are you assured that because of what Jesus did, you're right with God and therefore heir to life everlasting? And all that comes to you, good times and bad, comes from God's fatherly hand. Look again at Romans 8 there, verse 35 and following. Paul brings up a lot of bad things, supposedly. Tribulation, that doesn't feel nice. Distress, that doesn't feel nice. Persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. None of those are good feelings. Yet in all those is a heavenly joy, an assurance, a settledness that you are right with God in Christ. If you lack that joy, are you lacking Christ? Are you lacking eternal life? Are you lacking that connection to heaven? It doesn't matter how you and I feel, what our earthly situation is. That joy is lacking. You're in grave danger. The call goes, turn from your sin. Trust yourself to Jesus. Have that joy, heavenly joy. Then you can live a heavenly life now because our Lord ascended into heaven. But with this heavenly joy, even there's more to it. Because having Christ in heaven is also a guarantee. The Catechism puts it that way, a guarantee. That Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. That separation we have from Jesus, it's temporary. It won't last. Now, children, if your dad or mom, if they have to go away maybe for an evening, maybe they go away for a week, you know, and they leave you maybe. Well, for some reason, whatever reason, well, it's good to know you'll see them again, right? But when death takes away a loved one, a believing loved one, there's separation there too. We have sorrow. We miss them. But even then, in the midst of that sorrow, we have joy. Because we know we'll be reunited with our believing loved one. Well, how much more so with Jesus? He's joined us to himself and us to himself. He's taken upon himself our human flesh. He's become our mediator, the head of the covenant of grace. He laid down his life for us. He's rescued us from the torment and agony of hell. He's loved us, but we don't see him now. And we might be sad we don't see Jesus. We'd love to see him. It's good for us, though, that he's away. But wow, how much better for us to be together in glory. And Jesus' ascension into heaven is a guarantee we will be with him there. All that he's done for us, all that the redemption he has accomplished, it comes to its fruition and fullness on that day when we will be there with him in glory. Even the horrible reality of death, it's not enough to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's what God had the Apostle Paul write there in Romans 8. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Heavenly joy. We can live with heavenly joy. Joy having Christ plead our cause with the Father, being right with God through faith in Jesus. Joy at the guarantee Christ will take you to be with himself in glory. We live in a dark world, and sometimes that darkness really presses upon us. Here's heavenly joy in the midst of it. But there's even more to the benefits we receive from Christ's ascension. And we move in our second point to consider heavenly presence, heavenly presence. So with regard to his human nature, Christ is not now on earth. As the Catechism rightly says, that's what the ascension into heaven was. You know, when we think of the event itself, Jesus went up from earth to heaven. Human nature cannot be in two places at once. Otherwise, it's no longer human. The body can't be there. But it's become something else. In fact, even angels aren't in more than one place at once. Now, there are many mysteries in this life, many mysteries about angels, but that's not one of them. So Jesus is not now on earth according to his human nature. Otherwise, the account of the ascension to heaven would be meaningless, be misleading even. But Jesus is more than a mere human. He's truly human. But as we confess, as Scripture teaches, he's truly God, too. And his divinity is not limited like his humanity is. But divinity, we've seen, haven't we, just recently in our series about the attributes of God, the infinity of God. Divinity is not limited by space. It's beyond space. So his divinity is not limited by his humanity. And his humanity is not his divinity. They're distinct. They'll always be what they are. So then how can Jesus be present with us? Because he's God. Because he is God, he is with us always. And children, we saw, didn't we, with God being infinite. He's not limited by space. He's with his people in a special way. He's with you. Always. We think of that again in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 35. The question he asks there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Distance can't do it. Can't separate you from Christ and his love. Think again of when a believing loved one dies. What separates us from their love? Well, death does, doesn't it? Distance. Our loved one is no longer present. It's one of the reasons we mourn and grieve. Their death has separated us. But with Christ, there's no distance between us and his love. He's with us. And so, it's not fitting that we should mourn his absence in the same way as we mourn the death of a loved one. Well, Lord willing, next week we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, we are to be reverent in the celebration of it. But it's not a time to mourn over Christ's death, his absence. We don't come to the Lord's table as we come to a funeral. Now, Jesus is absent from us with regard to his human nature, even in the supper. And so we're not fulfilling our desire to be with him, but he's not absent. He is still with us as he promised, and he will be with us till the end of the age. Didn't he say that in Matthew 28? His heavenly presence with us. The presence of God himself. But even more, Christ sends his Spirit to us on earth. And the Holy Spirit takes up his dwelling within us. Again, our human language, we can't capture fully the reality. Even our minds can't wrap around that mystery. We as humans can't do that. Jesus is everywhere because he's God, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere because he's God. But also the Holy Spirit is present living within us. The Holy Spirit comes to us. That's the Spirit of Christ. Now, our soul lives within our body, our whole body. Well, you can make an analogy. The Spirit of Christ lives within us, we who are joined to Christ, the body of Christ. There's heavenly presence. Now, even when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the bread's bread. The wine's wine. But there's a mystery that the Holy Spirit joins us to Christ in heaven. So that spiritually we eat Christ, not with our mouths in an earthly physical way. But there's a mystery there. He's with us. He nourishes us unto eternal life. know, the heavenly joy we have is not, again, a feeling that we can produce with something. The heavenly joy we have isn't something we can produce by thinking a certain way or setting our resolve. It's worked by a heavenly presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. Now again, we're on earth, we're of the earth. We can't reach up, we can't grab that which is heavenly and bring it to us. But Christ is in heaven. And He sends His Spirit to us on earth. The Christian life and the joy we have as Christians, it's not something earthly. It can be observed by those on earth. It can be experienced and is experienced by us who are on earth. But it's something alien. It's something from outside this earthly reality. It's not a philosophy. It's not a code of ethics. True Christianity is not like the religions of man around us. Those lack a true good reality. Christ's work within us, it's not merely something psychological. Now, the world doesn't have that. It thinks there's nothing unique in Christianity, not in terms of something from outside this earthly experience. The unbeliever doesn't understand it's the work of God. The mystery in the Lord's Supper, again, it's just bread, it's just wine. But Christ nourishes us unto eternal life with that. And that's a mystery. It's heavenly. It's brought to us by the presence, the work, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, young people, the world, again, you're at that stage, you're finding out more, you're asking more, you're seeing, observing more. The world will try to get you to doubt the Bible, to doubt the reality and the work of Christ. They want to make everything into a natural phenomenon. Okay, yeah, there's the New Age spiritualistic religions, but even then, you see, they don't get it. They don't possess Him. It's mysterious, but there's a reality here. A heavenly joy, a heavenly presence. And so we are to live a heavenly life now. Because our Lord is sent into heaven, this is a reality. This isn't some self-help talk or some motivational speech. It's something from God Himself as He reveals in His Word. And by the work and the power of the Spirit, Jesus brings this to pass within us. There's a heavenly presence. The presence of Christ by His Spirit. But there's more then that flows from all this. Heavenly joy, heavenly presence. And we come to in our third point about a heavenly lifestyle. Now, God declares, we didn't read it, but God declares in Romans, you can just flip back a chapter to Romans 7, the law is spiritual, but we are unspiritual. Because of this, the one who's in the flesh can't please God. However, we who are in Jesus are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of Christ lives within us. With Christ, by His Spirit, living within us, God's law and the heavenly lifestyle that accords with God's law. So we confess, we make that the goal of our lives. And that's what we read from Colossians 3. Now, consider this in conjunction with the resurrection of Christ, but you can see it intermingles with the ascension of Jesus. You've been raised with Christ. Resurrected, yes, but further raised as He was lifted up from earth into heaven with His ascension. And so what does it say then? If then you've been raised with Christ, verse 1, and you have, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Again, this is a reality, people of God. Being a Christian, a true Christian, isn't ultimately a decision you or I make. It's not like being on the membership roll of some earthly institution or organization. It's a new creation. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. We're raised with Christ. That's what he says here. This is reality. It's a faith reality at this point. The fullness of which is something we hope for. But it is reality nonetheless. And so it must be real in your life and mine. It must characterize our lifestyles. Look further, verse 5 then. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Again, that's the opposite of ascension, right? Earthly, stuck here in a fallen earth. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then verses 8 through 9, you must put away them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Someone who lives this way is of the earth, is not living as a Christian does. Now, we as true Christians, we fall into these sins. We sin every day. But a true Christian has been changed and confesses these and by God's grace turns away from them, puts them to death. And he say that in verse 5, put to death. That means you something's put to death. You get rid of it. You separate, right? There's a separation. To live instead what we've become in Christ. And we have this week of self-examination to consider where in our lives are we not living with a heavenly mindset, a heavenly lifestyle. And we should do this all our lives, but especially a week of self-examination. Where is there sexual immorality? Impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. Where is there in your life anger, wrath, malice, slander? What about obscene talk, dirty jokes? What about lying to others? This week of self-examination, examine your lives. Where are those? You say, Lord, forgive me of that. That's not who I am in Christ. I'm sorry I do that. Help me. And then the opposite of those. Verse 12 and following. Compassionate hearts. Kindness. Humility. Meekness. Patience. Bearing with one another. Forgiving each other. And above all these, put on love. Be thankful. Give thanks to God. That's the lifestyle of heaven right there. Come to earth. It's the lifestyle of heaven, but it shows up in our lives here below by the work of the Spirit. Now, young people and adults, ads on the television, ads on the internet, the billboards, stories, shows, people, influencers, they preach to a reality that's of the earth. And they seek to entice you into that earthly lifestyle. It's clear, isn't it? What sermon are you listening to? What gospel is guiding your life? Is it a gospel that says blessing, fulfillment, fun, is found here below, engaging in obscene talk, engaging in sexual immorality, engaging in greed, getting angry and venting? That's the religion of the world. That's earthly. Again, verse 5, the world says, well, there's no harm in these things, some of these things. Look at them again. As long as you're not hurting someone else, do what they say. Don't be deceived. This is the lifestyle of this age. It is, what does Paul say? Under the wrath of God. Verse 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. It's focused on here below, not heaven. And it does harm to one's neighbor. Sin can never be bottled up. It's like a cancer. It spreads, it grows, unless it's put to death. Isn't that what we try to do with cancer, right? Put to death, get rid of it, cut it away, chemotherapy it away, radiate it away, get it away. By the Spirit of Christ. And that's what Christ has done. That's the Christian gospel. It's a different reality. Heaven rather than fallen earth. And Christ will come one day to renew this fallen earth. The heavenly will win completely. And so we ought to strive to live that way now. Again, it's a different gospel, a different mindset, a different faith than the world. Think of a farmer a generation or two ago. He used horses, didn't he? Maybe oxen. How would he milk cows? They do it all by hand. Then tractors come along, new milking technology. Think of excavation. Again, two generations ago, you used horses a lot, perhaps, in excavation. Now you have something that has a lot more horses than just one or two. Fantastic machines. The wise farmer, the wise excavator recognizes things have changed. Now, they might have been used to the way things were back then. Might be nostalgic in one sense. But he hears the change. He reads about it. He says, wow, I can dig that much? Sign me up. What would you think of the farmer or the contractor who goes back to the old technology? Will he make it in business? No, he's not going to. Now, there's nothing morally, spiritually wrong with using old technology. I'm not saying that. It's just an illustration. What Christ has done, though, is not just an illustration. He has brought the reality of heaven to man and man into the reality of heaven. And his ascension is proof of that. Because he's not here anymore. He's there. And he sends his spirit to us to bring to us the reality of that glory so that even now we begin to live out that heavenly lifestyle. And that is a matter of morality and spirituality. Don't go back to the old. Like the farmer of a generation ago, but even more so, get rid of the old and do the new. And Christ sends his spirit so that by the power of his spirit, we make the goal of our lives, not earthly things, but the things that are above where Christ is. Now, don't wait for some lightning bolt and say, well, I just don't feel it. He doesn't say that here. He says, seek the things that are above. Set your minds on things above. You've died. And he says, put on then. None of this is just, well, wait until it happens to you. This is all active. Here's the reality. By God's grace, do this in the power of the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, continue to come to corporate worship, to hear the gospel proclaimed, to hear Christ. Come to the table of the Lord. Remember and believe, be nourished with Christ unto eternal life. Think of the gospel throughout the week when you're tempted to any one of these things here, anger, sexual morality, you choose it. Identify and say, that is wrong. That's earthly. In Christ, that's put to death. I've been raised with Christ. Lord, that's who I am. Help me. See, it's taking the gospel and using it in our temptations, in our sanctification. The ascension of Christ. This is who you are. You're no longer this. Don't do this. Remind yourself of it. Encourage each other. Pray for grace. To have a greater faith. To be filled with the Spirit. So you would seek the things above. Even as he says in the end there, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Again, how wonderful we gather together as a body. Even in our singing songs and being there together, that is a way that God uses for you in your sanctification. Because you're not alone in this. And you hear someone else talking about it, singing it. Husband and wife encourage each other in this. It's wonderful God's given you to each other. To do just this. Christ's heavenly presence, heavenly lifestyle, heavenly joy. Another way, take a break on Sunday. From the things of this earth, so you're not consumed by them. Certainly work, you know, leisure too, though. Bring your mind heavenward. God's given us a whole day to help us cultivate that heavenly mindset, heavenly lifestyle, experience that heavenly joy. So many ways. Christ is in heaven. He's not here. And so live a heavenly life now because our Lord ascended into heaven. And in all this, may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have raised your Son up to glory of heaven. Jesus, you are exalted there now for our good, your glory. But we are still on the earth and we struggle, and you know we do. Thank you for declaring this truth, this gospel to us. The death, your resurrection, your ascension. Thank you for sending your Spirit so that we can make the goal of our lives heavenly things. But Lord, we often forget, we get distracted. We're far from perfect. So continue to renew us. Strengthen us for service in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.